Radio.
The song says, let's hear it for the boy, but I think it's let's hear it for the girl over the weekend. We'll talk about that and get you ready for the gym class. Coming up next, KGYM. And from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a sunny Monday, we welcome you into the gym class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette. Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass, our producer again today. Great show coming up for you. Busy one. Mike Colas will join us. We'll look ahead to tonight's championship game between Villanova and Michigan. And also talk about a very interesting Easter weekend in the world of sports. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. Also, we're going to talk about Division III week in NCAA action. And we'll do that with Chuck Juergen and Dan Hammes from the Iowa Conference. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. Gym class presented by the good folks at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids, Third Base Brewery. Thank you very much. When you're at Third Base, you're almost home. Great place to catch tonight's championship game. Also great place to visit and watch a little golf coming up this week. Happy Masters Week to everybody out there. Although it's going to be a cool week in Augusta, a little bit rainy early in the week, Tuesday and Wednesday perhaps. Maybe that will help out Zach Johnson or not. We got Caddy Smack coming up on Wednesday, and it's always good to have the Masters here. Usually means spring is around the corner. I don't think that is going to be the case, Mark, here in eastern Iowa.
It doesn't sound like it, and you got a feel for the spring sports teams, track, tennis, golf, what have you, in eastern Iowa, because things are being either canceled or postponed. And
already for tomorrow, things are being postponed.
Seems like such a short season anyway, but you hope things break here fairly soon. Yeah, you and I love the Masters, and we're going to have coverage of it on KGYM this weekend. And you mentioned the weather, and that was kind of like what it was in 2007 when Zach Johnson stuck to his plan, didn't go for any par fives in two, was 11 under par on those, and ended up beating, if I recall, Tiger Woods and Rory Sabatini down the stretch. Whether he can do that again remains to be seen. Just so many storylines in this tournament.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tiger is on the grounds. They had a tweet about that about 2 hours ago.
No, I saw him warming up at home,
Yeah. On the grounds, playing a practice round, or at least a few holes anyway, with Fred Couples and Justin Thomas. Didn't know he and Justin were buds, but apparently they play a lot of practice rounds together. So it'll be interesting, and we'll talk more about that. The one Masters thing to say today, Jason Day, the Aussie, former number one in the world, still up there in the top 10 as far as the world golf rankings concerned, came out and said he, in his estimation, there are 10 to 20 players that think they can beat Tiger when he is at his best.
Didn't used to be like that.
Now that's just what he says. Can it happen? We shall see, but that gets started on Thursday. And
Tiger's never missed a cut at the Masters.
No, I don't anticipate him missing the cut this year. Jim Nance mentioned all weekend that it was going to be the most anticipated Masters of his lifetime, and I think I would agree with that. So I'll get started coming up on Thursday. But we got a great show. Mike Colas going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so, and then we're going to talk with Chuck Juergen, the commissioner of the Iowa Conference. Dan Hammes going to join him here in studio. Division III week is underway, and lots to talk about as far as the Iowa Conference is concerned. We'll talk about D3 week as well, and that'll be here in just a little bit. I started off the program today, Mark, with a salute to the ladies out there. And no, college women's basketball is not going to take over March Madness. It's not going to take over the television airwaves like the men's game is. But I tell you what, we went from talking about is the dominance of Connecticut good or bad for the game? And now we've gone from that end of the spectrum to, oh my gosh, was that the greatest weekend in women's college basketball history? And it may be the best weekend in college basketball history. Could we, perhaps, and again, putting it into perspective, could we look back on this past weekend in 20, 25 years, say down the stretch, and say, you know, that's the weekend that may have put women's college basketball, I'm not going to say to the forefront, but at least out there so people can notice it. They had three fantastic games.
Well, to me, the women won the weekend. You might have had your nose stuck in baseball. You might have been busy with the Easter. But between the NCAA women's Final Four, you had two overtime games in the semifinals, a buzzer beater in the championship game. Connecticut gets beat in the semis.
On a last-second shot.
And then you have the LPGA, the first major of the season, the ANA Inspiration, finishes in darkness last night on the fourth playoff hole, a three-way playoff which became two, and it ended today with Pernilla Lindbergh, a journey woman on the LPGA Tour, taking down multiple champion NB Park in that tournament. And I totally understand, folks, if you don't follow either one. But if you need to be an overall sports fan, take in the things. I mean, you're talking about an NCAA championship. You're talking about a major championship. Maybe you don't like women's sports. That's up to you. But if this had happened on the men's side, you'd be talking about it for weeks.
Oh, no doubt. Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. Did it steal the weekend? Is women's basketball going to be a little bit more mainstream right now? Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is our Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. Oh, by the way, we do have the men's national championship game coming up tonight, and it will be Villanova taking on the Michigan Wolverines. We called that one, by the way. That wasn't real hard to call, I don't think. But at any rate, that will come up tonight, 6:30 on all three of our frequencies. From the Alamo Dome.
Subject of our poll question today, pretty obvious thing to ask, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. The 2018 NCAA men's basketball champion will be Villanova or Michigan. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast, in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco Jones.
On the text line, a couple of texts coming in here. 4398. Notre Dame is now a women's basketball school. I wouldn't discount the football program.
Been
quite
pretty
yet.
Good for a number of years.
Yeah, McGraw's done a very, very good job, and not getting one buzzer beater, but getting two buzzer beaters by the same player to take down Connecticut and to win the national championship. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool out there. Wes, it's 7143. Out of the 712, always feel bad for the WNBA because women's college basketball will forever be more important. Yeah, I think so. And I don't want to go into the reasons why at this point, but the WNBA, I don't think is... We'll see. We'll see. It needs something, but college women's basketball, I think, is always going to be more popular.
How about the 6'7 player at Mississippi State, McCowan? Mm-hmm. Who was phenomenal during the whole tournament and even before that, just missing a chippy at the end of regulation.
To win it. I would agree.
She probably did not have a good night.
No. Kyle at 35:30, I agree with you guys in the women's Final Four. I caught the end of both Friday games and the second half of the title game. Friday games are good enough that I DVR'd the replays of them on ESPN. I think you're joining a lot of people as far as that goes. Kenneth at 2364, love the women's tournament this weekend. I'm a casual Hawkeye women's fan, but we'll follow it more now. I think that might be the case for
did
a lot of people.
Did you love it because the two games ended the way they did or because Connecticut got beat?
Just the way, I have nothing against. You know what, Gino Auriemma, I have a lot of respect for. And I'm not anti-Connecticut or anything like that as far as women's basketball. And no, it wasn't because Connecticut got beat. I do think that helped a little bit because the Giant got taken down again for the second straight year in the semifinals. And, you know, we'll see. The other, I think more importantly, should you be asking, is it not that Connecticut wins every year and wins big? I put winning in quotation marks.
Actually, they haven't won the last 2 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got beat in the Final Four, but still getting the Final Four is pretty good. But I think the bigger problem for women's basketball is that you have basically six, seven, eight programs that are so heads and tails above everybody else.
Yes.
They've got the next step for women's basketball is to get those 10 through 20 teams to equal things out.
You don't have a Loyola in women's basketball.
No, you're not going to have a Loyola.
It was chalk in the women's Final Four.
Yep, four number ones.
Yeah.
The four number one seeds all made it there. They had some upsets along the way. Baylor lost in the second round, the number two seed out of the Big 12 champions. They lost. Look at me throwing around the women's basketball knowledge here, Mark. But four number ones made it out there. But it was sensational to watch that. 319-366-1600. Jay Billis tweeted out this.
I agree with him.
And let me just bring it up here so I can give you what he tweeted out verbatim. And I think he's got some very, very good ideas. If you watched any of the women's Final Four, this is a tweet from earlier on from Jay Billis from ESPN. If you watched any of the women's Final Four, you saw rules of the game that men's college basketball should adopt. Quarters, team foul reset, advance the ball in the last minute. The women's game is better administered, and the men's game should follow suit. And the NIT uses the basic, they don't call it quarters, but they reset the fouls at the 10-minute mark. So if the officials call a lot of fouls, there's a lot of hand-checking, whatever, physical play. When you get to the 10-minute mark, everything starts all over again. And in the college game, I think the men should adopt that.
Not only that, I'll go a step further, and I think the lanes should be widened. And I think the three-point line should be moved back to maybe 21 feet. I mean, really.
Open up that middle a little
bit.
You've
got 7th and 8th graders making three-pointers now. What is it?
That's 19, all they shoot, by 19, the way.
19, 9? What's the line?
It is, used to be in college. Now it's 21, isn't it? They backed it up a couple years ago. But high school is 19, 9, yes.
Okay.
High school is right there. 319-366-1600.
Villanova made 14 threes in the semis.
They're still making three-pointers out there as they took it to Kansas.
Yeah.
Wasn't the greatest men's pair of games. Michigan-Loyola was okay. It was the better of the two games. No doubt about that. John Beilein, who's going for his 800th win tonight in his career. If he gets the national championship, that'll be a heck of a way to get your 800th. But John Beilein did a tremendous job of making adjustments in the second half. Michigan cut off... They cut off the spread and the backdoor passes inside. Just a lot of good defense in that game. And Michigan won it fair and square in that game. And then, of course, you got everybody. How can you be putting bad things out about a 98-year-old nun? everyone, Sister Jean had her 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Be happy for her. Just be happy for her. And now she carts off into the sunset.
She does.
And
it was a good story while it lasted.
It was a great story, and I just don't understand why a lot of people around the country are just knocking her. And, I can't stand to say it again, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so there you go. 319-366-1600. Bob and Amanda, they come out of the womb now shooting threes. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. To help things out here, 1121, college softball is just as fun to watch as women's basketball. Ryan from Walford, 4 to 15-year-old girls who hit it longer than I ever will. Again, fun weekend watching the ladies as far as the golf is concerned. And also, I thought... And it was, it's Easter weekend. There's no racing going on. You got the start of Major League Baseball. You got select number of basketball games. There are other sports that kind of take the spotlight. And I tell you what, tip of the hat, tip of the fedora, as Bob would say, to Ian Poulter. You should never in your lifetime, if you're a professional athlete, have to go through once what he had to go through. Somebody coming up to him and telling him that he had achieved something. But he has had to go through it twice now in the last 2 years. And Ian Poulter won the Houston Open in a playoff over Bo Hostler yesterday. Had to sink a putt on the 72nd hole to do so. He was told, if you don't know the backstory, Ian Poulter last week at the match play was told that he had qualified for the Masters.
Was in the top 50 in the world.
Top 50 in the world, qualified for the Masters. Then they told him, oops, we did it. We didn't carry the one, and you're not in the Masters, so you need to go out and win this. Good luck. And then went out.
Then he got routed.
Got routed, and then came out Thursday and shot 73 at Houston and had his bags packed, ready to go. Thought he was going to miss the cut. Came back to win the Houston Open. If you don't know, the prior year, Ian Poulter, he missed a lot of 2016. Came back. He was playing on an exemption, an injury exemption. Had to accrue X number of dollars on the first part of the 2017 PGA Tour. They told him again he had made it, and then told him again, no, we did it wrong. You didn't make it. You need to go out and do this.
Was the tour using the abacus or what?
I don't know, but either the PGA Tour needs a new accountant or quit telling Ian Poulter that he's in things. But man alive, that was fun to see him come through and win that. Nothing against Bo Hostler, but that showed me a lot. Ian Poulter's got a lot of intestinal fortitude.
Just win, Ian, and he did.
And he did. So he will be playing this week. Caddy Smack coming up on Thursday, by the way, here on KGYM. Mark, they're breaking up your team. Tony Carr, Penn State, has announced today he is going to go pro, signing an agent. And he is thought of as a fringe first, second rounder. I think it's a bad move, but he's going to do it.
Yeah, that was news out today. And Penn State coming off an NIT championship. Really fun to follow if you get that deep into basketball. But I did because I like Penn State, like the coach. And that's going to be a blow to Penn State. There's other elements coming back to that team. Carr's a big one.
Absolutely. On the text line, 6758, are you calling Ian Poulter a sympathetic figure? Yes, I am calling Ian Poulter a sympathetic figure. Are you, Mark? Are you going to go that far? Nope. I know he's rubbed some people the wrong way over the years.
He's a A.J. Pierzynski. If he's on your team,
you love him.
You love him. But he, boy, he can grade on you, too.
Yes, he can. But you shouldn't have to go through that twice.
No.
And he's had to go through that twice. All this week, we've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away here on the Gym Class on KGYM, courtesy of Steve and everybody at Dr. Pepper. Great to enjoy while watching some Masters, some baseball, whatever the case may be. We got a 24-pack of either regular or Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper swag, plus some KGYM prizes for you. We will give that away before 4 o'clock today here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll take a break. Come back. Mike Halas, columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join us. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DePaco member? Join today in branch or online at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
This is how we turn every Sunday Twins game into Kids Day. Got a wild child? Let him run the bases after the game. More of a gamer? Check out the new virtual reality home run derby. Or maybe your kid just wants to meet a player. So how about a free autograph pregame? And they get a free t-shirt at Kids Opening Day on April 8th if they're one of the first 5,000 kids 12 and under, courtesy of Sheboygan Sausage Company, the Minnesota Twins. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com. Sunday Kids Day is presented by Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare.
Every personal record you achieve makes you want to set another and another and another. That's what it feels like to be a sales consultant at Zeta 2.9, The Gym, and Smart FM. As your clients' businesses continue to win, you become even more passionate about helping them. And your success is supported by a bunch of sharp, creative, love this place people. We're adding someone to our tribe right now. So if you feel the way we do about this community, about working hard, and about helping local businesses, email Steve at KZIA.com to apply. Dust off your clubs. Pleasant Valley Golf Course in Iowa City is open for play with an early season special for foursomes. Call for details and reserve your group's tee time today at 319-337-2622. Get an early start to your season now for a great price at Pleasant Valley Golf Course.
With you at 3:25 here in the gym class, the Monday edition here on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk with Kathy Bresnahan, who former Iowa City West volleyball coach. She was a coach, of course, they back in 2012 when Iowa City West won the championship after Caroline Found was tragically killed. Of course, the Miracle Season movie will be coming out nationwide, as they like to say, Mark, this Friday. We're going to talk to Coach Bresnahan coming up tomorrow about the movie, et cetera. So looking forward to that. And we're going to talk some baseball coming up tomorrow. We got baseball going on right now on the afternoon slate. Your Twins, Mark, falling behind early but trying to get back into it. They trailed the Pirates 5-4. Cardinals looking for two in a row. Brewers, their undefeated season is in jeopardy right now. 8-4, the Cardinals leading up in Milwaukee. Cubs and the Reds are scoreless. They are in the bottom of the first inning. Detroit all over Kansas City today by a score of 6-1. It has not been a good start of the year for our friend Cal Eldred.
No, he's the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals, and winless so far, and the pitching has not been good.
No, but it's early.
Yeah.
It's very early. Mike Law is set to join us right now. You can read his stuff online at thegazette.com. We also encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter. His handle is at Halas, H-L-A-S. And happy anniversary to you, Mike, because I say that back in 2001, you were up at the Twin Cities in Minneapolis at the Metrodome getting ready for the national championship game when we first debuted this particular show back downtown when it was just me running the ship. So I know you don't remember that, but happy.
Yeah, I do, sort of.
Do you?
Happy April Fools. Yeah, congratulations on making it to another year. The Final Four is in Minneapolis next year.
That's right. That's right. Up there at U.S. Bank. It won't be at the Metrodome, though. Same grounds.
Maybe that's where we can do, you know, the swan song. And, you know, okay, we pull circle and then pull the plug on me and send me up to Canada.
We don't want to do that.
Well, you might not want to.
Well, let's start off with the national championship.
I like how you said it's still early with the Royals, like they're going to turn it around in 100 games.
Well,
they're no good. But the White Sox are 2-0.
They are the last undefeated team in the American League, and I'm going to say that because I'm not going to be able to say that much longer.
There are White Sox this year because I'm in a pool, and it's an over-under pool, and the number on the White Sox was 70 wins, and I said that the White Sox would go over 70, so I'm living and dying with them every game.
There you go. I think they were a easy pick to go over. I'm not going to go crazy and say 90 or anything, but
I'd be happy with 87.
I would be too.
Mike, a couple people on the Twitter feed misunderstood a tweet you put out yesterday, and that was best Final Four ever. You're talking about the women, right?
Well, most people got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
There's always going to be somebody. And you can't, you don't have to spell everything out. Most people are, you know, logical beings. Well, I don't mean most people. Some. But, yeah, I mean, what do you want? You get a Final Four with two overtime games, and then the championship is on a last-second shot that might have been the best shot that ever won a national title. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. And on top of that, it was, you know, UConn lost Friday night in what was a shocker. That Notre Dame woman, and I'm sorry I can't pronounce her name.
I can't either.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't made the effort to, and that's on me. But I will say this, and I was told this today, hadn't thought about it. When she was a senior in high school, she beat out Megan Gustafson for Wisconsin's Player of the Year.
Ah.
Yeah, she's from Milwaukee, and she's no late bloomer. She was a McDonald's All-American and, you know, set the world on fire up there. So they're doing something right up there, I guess.
Yeah.
What's this do for women's basketball, or does it do anything for women's basketball?
I think it does a considerable amount. I think that there's been a sea change the last couple of years that people have realized that it's actually a pretty good game. And this hasn't happened overnight, but it takes a while for, you know, certain segments of people to just, I guess, get exposed to it one way or another. And when you hear about these great games, and last year was a great Final Four, too, when, Mississippi State beat UConn in the semis? Did I have that right?
Yep.
And that was you know, a game for the ages in college basketball. And then you have a Final Four like this year's, and people sort of can't help but notice. And then you compare it to Saturday at the men's Final Four, which I thought was a clunker. And now maybe tonight will be a classic, but I was cold to those two games Saturday. I'd be interested in what you guys thought.
Well, you know what, Mike? The women's game, to appreciate it, you need to watch it or follow it. And it's like an NBA game to me. It's not worth watching until the Final Four and maybe the Elite Eight, because there's just so few teams that are talented enough to win the national championship in women's basketball. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is. And unlike the men, you're watching that from 11 a.m. on Thursday till the end.
Right. No, I think that's a real good point. I mean, when UConn's playing in the first round, the question is if it's going to win by 100 points or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you look just down the road in Iowa City, and this is nothing new, but the brand of ball Iowa plays to me is very eye-pleasing when they've got talent. When they lost their guard, Davis, to injury, that was sad to me because I saw them when she was healthy, and they were just so much better. And they were good after that, but when Iowa has seven or eight good players with the style of offense they play, that's the kind of basketball I enjoy. Villanova plays that kind of ball, in my opinion. So, I mean, I like watching Villanova, but that Michigan-Loyola game, that was, you know, if that game had been on TV in December, you wouldn't have watched it. I certainly wouldn't have.
Of course, Loyola, no double-digit seed, is still yet to win in the Final Four, but it was a great run by the Ramblers. Put the Mo Valley again, I think, on the map a little bit. We'll see if it does anything for mid-major basketball. I'm not sure it's going to, but at least they had their day in the sun, and they're going to have the windfall come from it, at least in the Missouri Valley from that game.
Yeah, there's some financial gain to it. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to have any lasting effect. But, boy, I really wish that they had won. Really do. I mean, forget the underdog thing. Just something so different and unlikely. And you know how we enjoy those stories. But just getting to the Final Four was a great story, but boy, I'd like to see one of these teams come from nowhere and win it all one of these times. I think we'll see it, you know.
One thing that strikes me about Michigan reaching the national championship game, Mike, is, and you were there in Madison Square Garden, Iowa nearly beat Michigan, took it to overtime, and before losing, and told me two things. Iowa was fairly close, at least that game. And what a hell of a coach Beilein is.
Yeah, you know, more statistics, but in the last 4 years, 5 years, Michigan's won more NCAA tournament games than anybody, which is, you know, it's great. They're in their second Final Four in 5 years. But if they don't win tonight, the Big Ten will not have won a championship since 2000, which is a long time. And I don't think they're going to win one next year because they're losing players left and right, good players. So I don't know what team. I mean, a year's a long time. Maybe some team will gel and be this year's Michigan. But this is a veteran Michigan team, which you don't see a lot of anymore, you know. Bogner's a junior, and Abdur Rahman, and he's a senior, and well, I'm blanking out here.
Well, Wagner's not probably. Yeah. Who knows if he's coming back?
What, Duncan Robinson's a senior. Yeah, Wagner's not coming back. You know, Wagner's not coming back. Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges in Michigan State are gone. Tony Carr of Penn State announced today he's gone. Penn State might have been my pick to win the conference if Tony Carr had come back, but there's a reason he's not coming back.
Yeah, I think that's a bad move by Tony Carr. But
yeah, but you know what? Some of these guys, I think some of these guys know they're not going to make it into the NBA, and they still are ready to go. And I wonder if Tyler Cook is in that category.
Well, there are a lot of rumors. I know that Rob Howe on our local programming, Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn Friday, said rumors are that he's not coming back to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, well, things can change, you know, and change again. But I've been hearing that all winter, that he's gone no matter what. And, okay, you know, when he says it, I'll believe it. Until then, we'll see. But this is college basketball now, and it's – I mean, look, 2 years ago it was a whole different cast, basically. Villanova won it, so Brunson's got experience with it. But, you know, the great sophomores and freshmen of 2 years ago are long gone. And this is just the way it is. College basketball, I don't know if I want to call it watered down or not, but I think it is, you know. When you look at the Big Ten, so the first team all Big Ten, all five of those guys are either have agents or they're going to test the NBA draft water, and none of them are seniors. So it's, you just don't, you know, plug in five new guys and say, here are five all-conference players. It's going to hurt.
Mike, we're talking about major teams, major events, with a lot of eyes on them. But, yeah, you took in a Division III lacrosse match last week, and I really enjoyed your column, and I'm not placating you by any means.
Oh,
but I've watched lacrosse on TV and actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't maybe understand the whole game, but my thought was, God, this has got to be fairly inexpensive. Why don't they play it more around here? Cornell does. What did you see?
Well, I think the reason that they don't is it simply isn't something that we've grown up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely common in high schools and colleges out east. There are over 500 NCAA members who have lacrosse.
So is field hockey, and Iowa has field hockey. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Iowa had somebody pounding the drum for field hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the difference. But what I understand is the reason that Cornell did is it just helps them appeal to students in other markets a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was, and there's only one Iowa native on the Cornell women's team, and I'm not sure the men's team has any. I'd have to double check that. But Dubuque and Loras have teams. Wartburg's got a team. And you're right. I mean, I guess those sticks aren't cheap. I mean, they're not just, you know, fishing poles. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot to it, especially women's, because they have different rules, so they don't need body armor. And to me, it looks fun. I mean, it looks like one of those things that like soccer, if they'd had it when I was a kid, it would have, you know, those would have been two more options. You know, I'm 5'11", and you know, I couldn't guard a statue in basketball. But I could run around all day, you know.
Well, the kids like it. That's what's going to make it popular.
Yeah.
High school kids, millennials, big into lacrosse right now. And, you know, who knows if it's going to take off in the state of Iowa, if it'll ever take off in the state of Iowa.
I don't think we'll see it, Scott, but they do have it in Illinois and they have it in Minnesota. And
yep.
So it's just where you are. You know, it's like hockey. Some places it's native and other places it's foreign. And wrestling is a lot bigger here than it is in some states. It's
absolutely
a lot more popular around the country than we realize, but there are some places where it's not.
Now I'm torn whether I want lacrosse or curling to take off.
Well, I think curling's going to be a while, Mark. In the high school ranks, I say.
Oh, in high school. Okay. I was going to say, you might want to take a couple times on playing it.
Curling's fun. Hey, before we let you go, and we were going to ask you this anyway, but now, you know, everyone's going crazy. I think Tiger's probably the favorite again because he just chipped in on two during a practice round for an eagle.
Couldn't believe it. I got a notification on my phone about it. Jesus.
Oh, man alive.
Hey, if that's if you're getting notifications like that, be thankful. You
know? Well, that's true too.
That's very, very true. Tiger or the field would you take this week? We talked with our friend Dave Koken from Vegas last week. He thought it was kind of absurd that Tiger was the favorite going
in.
And it is. And he's not now. He's fifth as far as the money is concerned. But what do you think?
I don't know what to. I would put $1 on McIlroy if you could bet $1 someplace.
I think you got to go two.
They'd laugh at you. They'd laugh at you for that.
Let's go in halvesies then.
We'll put a contract together and split this. But
no, all I know is they got that website, and I think I'll probably watch it Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. This is the most talked about Masters in a long, long time. Going into it with so many, and we talked about it with Bob Herrig last week from ESPN, that so many people are at the top of their game right now. I mean, look what Spieth did yesterday at Houston. Didn't win it, but he came awful close. And they've got that set up very close to what they're going to have at Augusta. You've got Rory going for the career Grand Slam. You got Tiger doing what he's going to do. Jason Day came out today and said there are 10 or 20 people that think they can beat Tiger at his best. So, you know, you got that going. So this has got all the makings of a great, great week at Augusta.
Well, and then Bubba Watson has been really good this year, and he's won that thing twice.
Yep.
So, I had that thing dialed up today to watch guys skimming those shots on the pond at 16.
Which is great.
You know what? I think I might be missing this more than I thought I would.
Watch two guys, Justin Rose, because he's been very good, and Patrick Reed, because he's on our fantasy team, and we need a win.
I watch those guys skim balls over 16. We do that. We don't mean to.
The only difference between them and you is they get them out of the pond.
It's amazing. They can do it four or five skips across that pond. Yeah, it's fronting 16. You know.
Speed hit it to like 15 feet.
They should do during the tournament.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to make the sport more accessible to people, just change a couple rules.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It will be quite a week there at Augusta National. We'll
and then
see.
There's the wrestling in Iowa City, which is kind of interesting, too. I'll be there on Sunday for sure.
That's right. That's going to be
fun. Just happy you're not the PA announcer and announce the Azerbaijan lineup.
Oh, yeah. The Kazakhstan team, I think I'd go with 10 Igors.
It's going to be fun.
The Russians pulled out, right?
Yeah, the Russians have officially pulled
out.
Or
not allowed to get in.
Yeah.
Which is it?
Whichever.
They backed out and, don't get me started on Russia.
We don't have enough time.
Besides, they've been known to retaliate, so I'm not saying anything.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Masters. Plenty to talk about when we reconvene next Monday. Enjoy the week, and we will talk to you next week. Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Me too. See you.
All right. Mike Colas, read his stuff at thegazette.com and also give him a follow on Twitter. We will take a break, come back, and talk a little bit about Division III week when we return after this here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM as we, we'll get everybody situated and then we'll go ahead and do that. So stay tuned. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-285-4954. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Everyone knows the national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation? Drops in the dollar's value? Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? You can fight this, not with stocks and bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they are true wealth assets that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the 2008 crash, the Dow went up only 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 888-344-0094 and ask for Augusta's Guide to Gold IRAs. And learn how an IRA, backed by physical gold and silver, can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 888-344-0094 to get your free gold IRA guide. Call 888-344-0094 today. The price of gold and silver fluctuates over time, and you can lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
.347 back with you here on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, and before we start talking about Division III week here, we want to thank Dr. Pepper for helping us out this week. We've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we are going to give away right now. Very popular prize here on the program. Caller number six, you're going to get our very first Dr. Pepper prize pack of the year, a 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes as well. Caller number six, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You are going to take that prize package home with you. Very pleased to be joined here in studio by Chuck Juergen from the Iowa Conference and Dan Hammes as well from the Iowa Conference here as we have another Division III week coming down the pike here. And great to see you guys. I wish you brought, you know, warmer weather.
Oh,
but
this is awful. awful.
Yeah, this is spring sports are not getting along with the weather right now, are they, around the Iowa Conference or anywhere?
Nowhere. We're moving things left, right. Making new rules as we go. So it'll be an interesting couple of days and probably for the next 2 weeks or so, but we've only lost one baseball game so far, so that's not too bad.
What's the aim for D3 week, guys?
It's the national office's effort to try and just get people to raise awareness. Schools and conference offices will do various things. What we've traditionally done is try to get on the airwaves. You guys have been good enough to have us, and but there are a lot of schools that are, you know, will do community service or whatever just to try and raise awareness about Division III and to rally around the cause.
Absolutely. And Dan, you're a Division III former athlete.
Yeah, I've been there and lived that life for a while, and now on the administrative side of it. So this is a great opportunity to recognize the student athletes, coaches, administrators, support staff, FARs, everybody that's involved with the whole Division III process. And also it's an opportunity to highlight the connection between Division III and Special Olympics. That is a big connection that the NCAA office has partnered with. And if you follow at NCAA Division III, for every new follow, the NCAA will donate $1 to Special Olympics. So I know that was shooting around social media today on Twitter. So if you have not, that's a great opportunity to get out there and support a good cause.
Just NCAA D3?
Yep.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yep. Yeah. Roman numeral 3.
Okay.
Not the number three.
Not the number three.
Anyway,
right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Our schools do a great job throughout the year, not just only on this week, of partnering with their local Special Olympics organizations and doing events on campus with the student athletes and really the whole general student body at our institutions too.
I know Co is annually hosts the Special Olympics games too. Clark Field.
Yep, and there have been some really nice traditional annual events, too. Wartburg had to cancel their Unified Sports Day because of the weather earlier in the... I think they were supposed to do it either in January or February. Ended up doing it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we've got some stuff on our SAC blog that's part of our website detailing what they've been able to do. And so, yeah, it's been the National Student Athlete Advisory Committee chose Special Olympics about 4 or 5 years ago as sort of the targeted way for both them and for local or campus SACs to as sort of the official partner of charity partner of Division III. So it's been a very, very good partnership.
Iowa Conference members have won multiple national championships this school year.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I mean, it's not isolated. It's happened before. But what does that do for not only the Iowa Conference, but for D3?
I think it's a huge lift, especially here in the state of Iowa, bringing recognition to the opportunities out there for high school student athletes, realizing that you're going to get the opportunity to compete at a high level on an athletic field, court, mat, whatever it may be. And also, you're going to get top-notch academics, which all of our institutions offer. So I think when in Division III, you always know there's going to be strong academics. So then when you can hear about the athletic success too, I mean, on a big stage, national titles, not just qualifying for the postseason, but having success in the postseason, there's a lot of neat, fun, unique opportunities out there for student athletes.
in the last, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I can't remember in my 10 years, the run that we've had with a national men's champion in basketball in Nebraska Wesleyan.
They are a member of the Iowa Conference,
they are a member of the Iowa Conference as of 2 years ago. The Wartburg women, Wartburg women's basketball making it to the national semifinals. Three national champions in wrestling, several All-Americans, and a couple of three national champions at the indoor track and field meet. So it was that all happened all within the span of, I don't know, 2 weeks. So it was quite the march for sure.
And Wartburg winning another wrestling title.
Yep.
14th.
Yep. 14th.
14th title.
Well, but the Iowa Conference did very, very well, like you said, individually. And as far as the teams are concerned, the Iowa Conference did extremely well.
Yeah, and actually this probably would be considered a quote-unquote down year for us. And we only had Coe that finished 10th, and we usually have at least two or three teams finishing in the top 10, and Coe did that with three guys. So quite an accomplishment for John Ostendorp and his wrestlers to be able to finish 10th in the nation with just three wrestlers who qualified.
Chuck and Dan, you mentioned Nebraska Wesleyan in its second year in the Iowa Conference. My question is the Iowa Conference stable? Are you looking to more bigger horizons? What do you think?
I think we're stable. We're always open to new members. It's just they're just not that many out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our presidents would like to see us, think about expansion in a serious way. It creates a, you know, if we got to a big number of 12 or 14, we could possibly, well, we would have to, you know, divide into divisions at that
point. Bigger footprint too, right?
Yep, bigger footprint, less of a burden on the schools as far as conference dues is concerned, more of a safety net as far as the NCAA automatic qualifier is concerned. You have to have seven teams in your conference to qualify for that AQ, which is very important to all of us. So, always, it's just there are not that many, there are just not that many candidates out there.
Yeah, and but it's very, very strong right now. And I know there are a lot of things. You guys talked about the Special Olympics, whatnot. There are a lot of things that people can take a look at. If they want some more information, is there a place they can go to find that out about D3 Week and just what the Division III schools do?
Yes, throughout the week we will be updating what our institutions do on iowaconference.com. That's where we will have our hub as schools send in information. We'll link that up with the NCAA website as well so that people can understand what's happening on a national scale as well with Division III Week.
I know time's short, but we talked to Mike Alas about Cornell's lacrosse program. Of course, Cornell back in the Midwest Conference, but there is lacrosse in the Iowa Conference, right?
There is. There are three women's programs at Dubuque, Loras, and Wartburg, and there's one men's program at Dubuque.
See that growing?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys hit on it with the high schools. If the High School Athletic Association, either in Iowa and or Nebraska, would decide to sponsor it, that certainly changes the recruiting landscape. I think the schools that have it are in the eastern part of the state where they're able to access that that metro Chicago western suburb area where it's more popular. It is a sport that is growing by leaps and bounds, but I just don't know, for our central and western members, unless Iowa, unless the high school association would adopt it as an official sport, I just don't know that they feel like they could recruit.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's not easy for the girls athletic union to talk about a new sport.
Yeah.
So that's, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. Do we jump in and hope that, that we can get a recruiting foothold and convince the high school athletic union to maybe sponsor the sport? But you're right, Scott. It's a completely different thing when you're talking about between the men's and the women's game. The women's game is, an eye shield and a stick, and some equipment for the lacrosse goalies. But in the men's program, it's basically like a football uniform. So the costs are are different too.
Pretty high right there. Well, check out D3 Week online. And Chuck, Dan, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work with the Iowa Conference and all the Division III.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting.